RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, read by Rahmana first, the headlines. Indonesian humanitarian assistance in Nepal, the most thorough. Minister Rini said, Pertamina must provide premium. Greenpeace to report the government of Indonesia to JBIC. Now the news in detail. Director of the Protection of Indonesian Citizens and Indonesian Legal Entities of the Foreign Affairs Ministry, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal in Jakarta Tuesday said, Indonesian humanitarian aid in Nepal is considered the most thorough as it focuses on the provision of hospital tents and surgical equipment including provision of doctors. According to Minister official in preparing humanitarian aid, which was part of the earthquake disaster relief efforts in Nepal, teams from Indonesia remembered their experience in the aftermath 5.9 earthquake in Yogyakarta to determine what kind of assistance would be required. Iqbal explained Indonesian team learned from the post-earthquake experience in Yogyakarta and Aceh. As many people had suffered fractures, stent, orthopedic specialists were urgently needed. He affirmed the humanitarian aid brought by the Indonesian team consisted of food, medical equipment, and supplies and medicines. State-owned Enterprises Minister Rini Sumarno asked PT Pertamina to keep providing premium because the new pertalite fuel that will soon be introduced by Pertamina is more expensive than premium. Minister Rini said on Tuesday, May 7, 2015, it's fine to sell pertalite, but it is more expensive than premium. Thus, premium must still be provided. According to Minister Rini, replacing premium with the more expensive pertalite will burden the people. However, she claimed to have no information about the price of Pertalite. Pertamina had cancelled the launching of Pertalite, which was scheduled to take place on May 2015 because the company has to make preparations. Greenpeace Indonesia has threatened to report Indonesian government over disputes surrounding the land acquisition process for the proposed power plant in Batang to the Japan Bank for International Cooperation, GBIC, the financier for the new power plant project. The spokesperson for the climate change and energy for Greenpeace Indonesia, Arif Yanto, said on Tuesday, May 7, 2015, that the Greenpeace would ask GBIC to retract the funding for the project that has to be disbursed. It is known that GBIC has promised to provide 70% out of the 50 trillion rupiah required to construct the steam power generators in Batang. Under the agreement, GBIC has agreed to disburse the loan as long as the land acquisition process is not met with resistance by local residents that are affected by the project, and stipulate that the land acquisition process must not cause any short of conflict with local residents. The regional secretary for Batang, Nasikin, said that about 30% out of the 226 hectares of land required to build the largest power plant in Southeast Asia has yet to be acquired by the government. Amid growing concern over the industrialization, Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry Kadin has proposed the establishment of a special financing institution to support the manufacturing industry. The assistance of such institutions is necessary to help revitalize the country's struggling industry and boost the competitiveness of domestic business players amid rising challenges, particularly with the creation of ASEAN single market, according to Business Group. Indonesia's manufacturing industry has been picking up pace in recent years, surging by around 6% on huge domestic consumption. However, a variety of issues, including high interest rate, have curbed its growth and prevented it from regaining its peak of 12% seen between 1990 and 1996. Kadin Deputy Chair for the Finance and Banking, Rosant Roslani, has said recently, the proposed financial institution, which would have a less commercial orientation, as indicated by lower lending rates than normal banks, would allow local industrial firms leverage in running their businesses. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Acting Chief of Indonesian Corruption Eradication Commission KPK, Taufik Rahman Ruki, announced on Thursday that there are 5 vacant positions required by the institution in the near future. The vacancies include positions for Investigation Director, Internal Observation, Law Bureau Staff, Head of the Public Relations Bureau, and Deputy for Corruption Prevention. Previously, Deputy for Corruption Prevention was occupied by Johan Budi, but is currently assuming the Deputy Chief of KPK position. Ruki said that he has offered the position to various parties including university, law enforcement agency, and ministries. Ruki added that he asked the public to check out the KPK's website. The Tanjung Pinang Free Trade Zone Authority, BPK, has offered an 80-hectare maritime-based industrial zone to foreign investors. The industrial zone will be environmentally friendly by minimizing waste from its industries. The Free Trade Zone FTZ will be launched in August. Tanjung Pinang BPK head Dean Yelta said on Thursday that the industrial zone would be aimed at industries involved in maritime resources such as fisheries and seaweed production. According to Dean, the central government, through Government Regulation No. 48/2007 on trade zones, and Bintam Freeport has also determined Tanjung Pinang City as an FTZ with the concept of an enclave, 1,300 hectares in Dompat and 1,333 hectares in Senggarang. Then added the 80 hectare zone is the first industrial zone which will be present in Tanjung Pinang. We expect that the area will be able to absorb 5 foreign investors with an investment value of 5 trillion rupiah or around $355 million, and a workforce around 7,000 people. Is Kalimantan provincial government will inaugurate Maratua Airport in Berau Regency in June 2015 to support marine tourist development in the Derawan Islands. The head of the East Kalimantan Transportation Office, Sairin Sain, said in Samarinda on Tuesday that the construction of the Maratua Airport, which has a 1,400-meter runway, costs around 92 billion rupiah or around $7 million. He said, as quoted by Antara News Agency, the airport is expected to facilitate inflow of local and foreign tourists to the island, which has a number of very interesting attractions, especially the underwater world. He said the airport can also be utilized to function as another layer of defense to safeguard the sovereignty of Unitary Republic of Indonesia, because East Kalimantan has many outer islands. The last item, Indonesian team evacuation continues to search for Indonesian citizens who are still missing in Nepal after 7.9 earthquake hit the country. Director for the Protection of Indonesian Nationals and Entities Abroad at Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, said on Tuesday that 5 from 107 Indonesians in Nepal are still missing. He said the 5 Indonesians consist of 3 climbers at Mount Everest, namely Jeron Hehuat, Kadet Andana, and Alma Prahita, while 2 others, according to Iqbal, are certainly not climbers.
3-nya adalah Jeron dan kawan-kawan, yang 2-nya lagi yang jelas bukan pendaki, karena itu upaya pencarian.
3 of them are Jeron and his friends, and 2 others are clearly not climbers. Therefore, search efforts are focused in Kathmandu. Certainly, 2 people are not climbers and not be in the location that is difficult to reach, but maybe just have not been identified.
Therefore, the evacuation team continues to read in Kathmandu area and spread their photos and the location of the latest contacts to inform the evacuation centers.
Terus dikomunikasikan ke semua pusat-pusat perawatan korban dan semua pusat-pusat pengungsian.
Meanwhile, the Minister of Foreign Affairs released information that the evacuation team strongly suspected that the three climbers were in Lantang after a Spanish rescue team found Alma Prahita's ID there. Such findings strengthened the team's confidence that the three Indonesians were on Everest guest house when the earthquake occurred. Following the finding, Indonesia Ambassador to Bangladesh and Nepal, Iwan Wiranata Atmaja, had directly contacted Alma's family in Bandung, West Java. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Here is today's commentary on Thai competition of the general election in United Kingdom. I'm Dalat Pane. On Thursday, May 7, the United Kingdom held a general election. The election was the most stringent and most uncertain one in the country's history. Why? At this general election, British people voted in 650 constituencies scattering in England, Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. The latest forecast from a number of survey institutions mentioned that there would be no party to win a majority of 326 seats to form a government. The Conservative Party is projected to reach 270 to 285 seats, while the Labour Party 260 to 275 seats. Uncertainty is also apparent if viewed from the thinness of the survey results. The latest survey from YouGov/The Sun indicates the ruling Conservative Party and the opposition Labour Party won 34% of the vote. It would trigger a hung parliament or no party wins a majority. If no party wins a majority of seats, the party which wins the most seats will form a minority government or a coalition government by cooperating with other parties. This happened in 2010 election. So what happens if there is a hung parliament? The talk between party leaders and their negotiating teams will be take place. They are attempting to form a coalition government or making more flexible agreements to put the Conservative leader, David Cameron, or the leader of the Labour Party, Ed Miliband, as the Prime Minister of Britain. 5 years ago, the Conservative Party led by Prime Minister David Cameron was successful to form a coalition government with the Liberal Democrats led by Nick Clegg. But this time, the prospect of repeating this scenario seems very difficult. Although winning the election, Cameron is threatened not to rule. The reason is the low votes of Liberal Democrats, which are predicted to lose half of the 57 seats. If this prediction is right, the combined seats of the two political parties will not be enough to form a government. If Cameron fails to form a government, Ed Miliband, Labour Party leader, who is predicted to be runner-up, will get the mandate. However, the political situation is assumed to be complex. The prospect of a coalition of Labour Party and Liberal Democrats is one of the scenarios under consideration. However, this prospect seems impossible because the combined seats would not be enough. The option left for Miliband is forming a coalition with the Scottish National Party, SNP, which is projected to be ranked third by reaching 50 to 55 seats. However, the prospect of a coalition with the party that supports Scottish independence is something that will not be welcomed by the people of England. Cameron ensures there will never a coalition with the SNP. Miliband is not also interested in establishing a coalition with separatist party. Another possible scenario that may happen is that Conservative Party or Labour Party forms a minority government by relying on small parties such as UKIP and the Greens to support them in a variety of legislation in the government. The most important support is confidence and supply, namely about no confidence motion and passing the government's budget. Obviously, whoever becomes prime minister in the UK will be faced with an unstable government because there are a lot of political interests by coalition partners. If instability persists, the British people are predicted to face with snap election that can be held in a few months or a year ahead. Such incident has occurred in 1974 when two elections were held within an interval of 8 months. Well, listener, that was commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start from May 8, 1993, Indonesia's labor activist Marsina dies because of persecution. Marsina, during her life, worked at PT Catur Putra Surya, who actively in demonstration acts demanded for decent wages. Marsina, along with company's workers, helped strike to heal their demands. Up to May 5, 1993, Marsina, with her friends, remained actively in rallies and dialogues. However, beginning on May 6 to 8, 1993, Marsina's existence disappeared until she was found dead on May 9, 1993. The autopsy, which was done by doctors at public hospital in Nganjuk, East Java, recommended Marsina died on May 8, 1993, in 24 years old, caused by persecution. Marsina, as the worker activist, accepted Yap Tiam Hien Award in 1993. On May 8, 1998, there occurred Gejayan Incident. Gejayan Incident is also known as Yogyakarta Tragedy, a clash that happened on May 8, 1998 in Gejayan, Yogyakarta, in a demonstration demanded reformation and ousted President Suharto. The clash occurred up to midnight. The clash caused hundreds of injuries, and one man named Moses Gatotkaca died. We conclude with the next historical event on May 8, 1828. Henry Dunant was born and the day decided at the International Red Cross Day. Jean Henry Dunant was born on May 8, 1828, and died on October 1910 at the age of 82. Henry Dunant was known as businessman and social activist of Switzerland. When he was in a business trip in 1859, he directly witnessed Solferino Barrel, a region near Italy. The memory and experience that he wrote in a book entitled A Memory of Solferino, which inspired on the establishment of International Committee of Red Cross, ICRC, in 1863. To respect Henry Dunant's humanitarian services on every May the 8th as his birthday has been decided as the International Red Cross Day. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome to Focus. Today, entitled, The Government is Optimistic Economy Will Grow 5.7%.
Focus, Daily News and Events.
Dear listener, Indonesia's economy is predicted to grow 5.7% in 2015, despite the slowdown in economic growth in 2014 amounted to only 5.02%, or missed the target in the revised state budget, APBNP 2014. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro in Jakarta on Thursday admitted the slowdown of 2014 economy was hard alarm for the government to be more serious to develop economic growth contributor factors. Bambang explained the government still rely on investment flow both from government through optimization of the budget for the development and also to optimize the private role in financing development. Minister Bambang shared that investment climate will continue to grow in 2015 and encourage the private investment as a contributor to motivate the national economy. Various factors of economic growth contributor, such as export, according to Minister Bambang Brojonegoro, is difficult to become the sustaining factor in 2015 amid decreasing of commodities prices and slowdown of economic growth among trade partner countries. Therefore, his ministry will optimize the budget. Besides, the government will also try the house consumption continue to recover and could increase the expansion of people's purchasing power. Bambang stated, the development of infrastructure not only direct to a big-scale physical development, but also social infrastructure, so it could encourage economic activities of the people. Related to the Indonesian economic growth, President Joko Widodo promised to accelerate the realization of the state budget beginning from the second quarter of this year. President Joko Widodo admitted, in the first quarter, economic growth slowed down around 4.71%. But the president believes the second quarter Indonesia's economy will be boosted. With a series of policy measures taken by the government, President Joko Widodo optimistic economic growth in the range of 5.3% to 5.7% in 2015, and it will grow about 6% in 2016. President confirmed during the first quarter of this year, expenditure somewhat hampered because of the revised state budget passed in mid-February and thereafter need to follow bidding process that just to be completed in 2 to 3 months. Therefore, a variety of new projects funded by the state budget or APBN can begin on early May. It was not coincided with the hope that the tender process can begin in November of the previous fiscal year. The steps are taken to ensure the availability of accelerated infrastructure, including electricity supply, roads, port, and mass transportation. Meanwhile, Vice President Yusuf Kalla also ensured the implementation of various development programs of working cabinet based on the 2015 state budget, which has been started since May. According to Kalla, after the program run beginning on May, it could be ensured the industry sector will also run in line with the consumption level of Indonesian people. About the economic slowdown, Yusuf Kalla also said it was not only become problem of Indonesia, but also in global that hampered many countries in the world, including the strongest economic level, such as China. That was Focus.
Here are the headlines of several national newspapers published today, Friday, May 8, 2015. Abdullah Pani. Sindo newspaper writes, the economic growth is hampered by infrastructure. The government should focus on accelerating the development of infrastructure in order to stimulate the economy. During this time, Indonesia's economic growth is still constrained by inadequate infrastructure. According to Bank Mandiri President Director Budi Gunadi Sadikin at the Institute of International Finance, IIF Asia Summit in 2015, to promote economic growth in developing countries such as Indonesia, It is necessary to accelerate the construction of infrastructure such as power plants, ports, and airports. The Indonesian Central Bureau of Statistics reported the Indonesian economy in the first 3 months of this year grew only 4.71%. While Republika newspaper writes, it is the right time to invest. The International Monetary Fund, IMF, considers Indonesia has the capital to promote economic growth. Meanwhile, Vice President Yusuf Kalla said, the weak situation at this time is the right time to invest in Indonesia, because the price of steel and raw materials are down, as well as land prices are now low. When opening the Institute of International Finance Asia Summit on Thursday in Jakarta, Yusuf Kalla said, Indonesia's economic growth in the first quarter of 2015 was below target, but still better than others in the region. Moreover, he said, no country can stand alone. The situation in the United States, Europe, and Asia also influenced the Indonesian economy. Meanwhile, Kompas Daily writes, domestic content is encouraged. A number of ministries are in rush to auction infrastructure projects. The local infrastructure projects is continued to be pursued. Various parties trying to fulfill it, although some still have to be imported. If the commitments are implemented in a disciplined manner, the demand for commodities will increase. The impact on the economy will move down. Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Kadin, asked the government to encourage optimizing the use of domestic products in the execution of infrastructure projects. Imports should be restricted only to products that cannot be produced by the domestic industry. Vice Chairman of the Kadin, Juhanar Usman, said the commitment of the use of domestic products must come from businesses and governments. Media Indonesia writes, the government prepares strategies to control price. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Sofian Jalil, said the presidential regulation is assessed urgent to protect consumers from price hikes before and during the fasting month. To increase consumption of households, which is able to push economic growth, the government is now finalizing the presidential regulation on food prices. Well, listener, that was the headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Director of the Protection of Indonesian Citizens and Indonesian Legal Entities of the Foreign Affairs Ministry, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, said in Jakarta on Tuesday, Indonesian humanitarian aid in Nepal is considered the most thorough as it focused on the provision of hospital tents and surgical equipment, including provision of doctors. State-owned Enterprises Minister Rini Sumarno asked Pertamina to keep providing premium. Because the new Pertalite fuel that will soon be introduced by Pertamina is more expensive than premium. Greenpeace Indonesia has threatened to report Indonesian government over disputes surrounding the land acquisition process for a proposed power plant in Batang to the Japan Bank for International Cooperation, GBIC, the financier for the new power plant project. Amid growing concerns over deindustrialization, Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Kadin, has proposed the establishment of special financing institutions to support the manufacturing industry. The assistance of such institutions is necessary to help revitalize the country's struggling industry and boost the competitiveness of domestic business players amid rising challenges, particularly with the creation of ASEAN single market. Acting Chief of Indonesian Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, Taufikur Rahman Ruki, announced on Thursday that there are 5 vacant positions required by the institution in the near future. The vacancies include position for Investigation Director, Internal Observation Law Bureau Staff, Head of Public Relations Bureau, and Deputy for Corruption Prevention. The Tanjung Pinang Free Trade Zone Authorities BPK has offered an 80 hectare maritime based industrial zone to foreign investors. The industrial zone will be environmentally friendly by minimizing waste from its industries. East Kalimantan Provincial Government will inaugurate Maratua Airport in Piro Regency in June 2015 to support marine tourism development in the Derawan Islands. The head of the East Kalimantan Transporting Office, Sairin Sain, said in Samarinda on Tuesday that the construction of the Maratua Airport with its 1,400-meter runway cost around 92 billion rupiah or around $7 million. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is Coming to Indonesia. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015, brought to you by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, and supported by Indonesian Tourism Ministry.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. And I'm Dalat Pane. In today's edition, I will invite you to travel to Bengkulu province, so stay tuned. Bengkulu is one of the provinces on Sumatra Island. It is located in the southwestern part of the Sumatra Island. This province becomes an integral part of the history of the Republic of Indonesia as one of the Indonesia's proclaimers of the Indonesian independence. Sukarno was exiled by the colonizer. The government of the Netherlands East Indies. The exile of Insinyur Sukarno lasted from 1939 to 1942. In addition to the exile, the former first president, Sukarno, Bengkulu City also has several beautiful tourist spots which are very interesting to visit. One of them is Bukit Kaba in Sumber Urip, Selupu Rejang Sub-District, Rejang Lebong Regency. This hill is a tourist destination that is interesting to explore because it presents a beautiful and natural scenery with wild animals and plants. Bukit Kaba is a mountain with an altitude. Bukit Kaba is a mountain with an altitude of 1,937 meters above the sea level, with an area of approximately 13,490 hectares. Bukit Kaba is an active volcano type A, which is a mountain that has been erupted since 1600 until now. There are 8 craters of this mountain, but 5 of them covered in vegetation. This hill presents a beautiful natural scenery and unspoiled. To explore its natural beauty, you have to climb Mount Kaba. The ascent begins from the entrance of the jungle, which is about 100 meters from the Travel Awareness Group post. You are required to report on this post before heading for the jungle. In addition to writing the identity, you are charged a rate of 2,500 rupees or about 25 US cent in 3 per person. The journey to Bukit Kaba can be reached from the west of Bengkulu at a distance of about 90 kilometers. There are 3 shelters for resting while you climb the hill. The journey from the jungle toward the shelter takes about an hour by trekking down the hill, bamboo forest and lush forest. Then, from the first shelter to the second shelter, it takes about an hour by passing the track which is the local people said Tebing Cengeng or Maudlin Cliff. It is named Maudlin Cliffs because it has a slope of about 60 degrees for 50 meters long. Since the visitors have to climb the rock and it is hard, then they complain and sometimes want to cry. Meanwhile, from the second shelter to the third shelter, there is a dome which is the entrance area of the hilltop. The trip takes half an hour. During the trip from the shelter to shelter, you can not only enjoy the fresh air and green landscape, but also the sound of various animals. One of the most distinctive sounds is the sound of gibbons. They usually make specific sound because they want to mark their habitat. After arriving at shelter number 3, you can set up a tent. If you want to spend the night here, if it were just hiking, you can sit relaxed before continuing the journey to the crater of life and death crater. The peak hill, there is 3 beautiful craters. 2 craters are still alive. 1 crater is dead. Because it has a crater, Mount Kaba has hot springs. It is located 20 meters to the left of the valley, overlooking the peaks. The water source is quite clear that it becomes an alternative for those of you who run out of drinking water. To go to the creator of life, ulang. To go to the life creator, you have to travel about 20 minutes to traverse stairs called Thousand Stairs. Passing through this staircase, it indicates that you have reached the top of Mount Kaaba. From the top of the hill, you can see the beauty of the Bukit Barisan Hills and Curup City, the capital of Rejang Lebong. If you are camping here, in the morning, you can watch the sunrise from the summit of the hill. In the morning, you can watch the sunrise from the peak of the hill. Well, listen, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Bukit Kaaba. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa and bye-bye.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, viewer listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with Mirahma. Today's edition presents you International Red Cross Day. International Red Cross is a non-profit organization which is engaged in humanitarian field. Historically, this organization was initiated by a Swiss man named Henri Dunant. After seeing the impact of war, Henri Dunant then wrote a book, A Memory of Solferino. It is through the book that Henri Dunant formed a humanitarian organization named International Red Cross in 1863. It was an organization which was not aligned with any countries. It aimed to help all war or disaster victims. This committee was then called Red Cross. Now Red Cross has various branches in all over the world, including Indonesia. As in line with its mission to help all people in the world, Red Cross is often engaged in every war or disaster. The current war in Yemen is a big example of humanitarian activities of the Red Cross. Having not finished giving aid in Yemen, Red Cross has to handle earthquake which hit Nepal. Ahead of its anniversary, the International Red Cross doesn't have a special plan. What they focus now is helping war victims in Yemen and disaster victims in Nepal. In this case, the Indonesian Red Cross doesn't stand still. This organization sent volunteers to join the International Red Cross for the humanitarian mission. Moreover, the Indonesian Red Cross raised funds for disaster victims in Nepal. All people in the world should thank Henry Dunant for forming an organization which carries humanitarian values. One of ways for the world citizens to thank Henry Dunant is making his birthday as the anniversary of the International Red Cross. May 8, 1828 was the day when Henry Dunant was born. It is the date that becomes the anniversary of the International Red Cross, the unforgotten heritage for all world citizens. Through this humanitarian organization, people are expected to always remember that we are born to help each other, not to destroy each other. Well, boy listener, that ends today's miscellany on the International Red Cross Day. I'm Rahma. Thanks for listening.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Rahma, in our regular segment, Music Corner, which introduces you Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition presents you an Indonesian female dangdut singer, Desi Kitaro. Alright, listener, to begin our program, here is a song by Desi Kitaro entitled Aku Adalah Aku. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Listener, the Dangdut singer Desi Kitaro started focusing on career as a Dangdut singer after going through romance problem. Desi Kitaro was born in Sukabumi, West Java, June 21, 1983, chose singing Dangdut as her career. The second child of two admitted that Dangdut music allows her to be independent in living. The album that she has launched with the singles Tali Kasih and Ditarik Tarik. Listener, before we move on, let's listen to another song by Desi Kitaro entitled Ditarik Tarik. Happy listening. Listener, Desi's career in singing world is supported by Psycho-Cybernetics Suhunaga. That's why Desi is optimistic that she will be successful in music with her vocal and performance. Suhunaga revealed that Desi's career is believed to match the current popular Dangdut singers. Talent in singing and beautiful face will attract Dangdut music lovers in the country. Desi also considers the fortune-telling of Suhunaga as a blessing. Well, listener, that's a glimpse of Dangdut singer Desi Kitaro. And here are more songs to end the program, still by Desi Kitaro, with the song entitled Baru Tahu and Bawel. Enjoy the songs and I'll see you again in another Dangdut edition of Music Corner.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.